It's easy to overpay taxes. That's what one of my clients told me. That's the reason they wanted to put in a tax data lake. How many of you have filed tax returns in the US? How many have gotten refunds? It's easy to overpay taxes. Today, when I was asked to do this presentation, we wanted to have an ability to provide some business cases that were then solved with Microsoft technologies. So we picked three topics. Our clients wanted to always cut spending, improve a process, and in my practice, reduce taxes by not overpaying. How many of your clients want to cut costs of their IT spend or improve their processes? I think we've all heard that as a requirement. I am Michelle Wallig. I'm an executive director in the tax performance advisory practice at Ernst & Young. I've spent 30 years as a data geek. I consider myself a modern data scientist. I spent the first half of my career in banking, working with very large customer databases, credit card banking, the second half of my career in technology, including 15 years at Microsoft. I was hired into Microsoft to build their tax data warehouse system, which I recently helped them migrate to SQL Azure. My co-presenter is Abhishek.
Hi, been working with EY within the tax department, and my expertise lay in using modern technologies like Microsoft Azure in building cloud-based solutions to overcome all the challenges that we have with the tax compliance, with the tax deadlines, and whatnot.
So today, our agenda, I'll speak 2 minutes on the Microsoft EY alliance that we have. I'm going to spend about 15 minutes talking about tax data management. Regardless of your client worldwide, they all pay taxes. You may have gone to many sessions during the week where they're going to show you like automobile manufacturing or oil and supply. All those companies pay taxes. So tax data management is important to every company. Then we'll have two illustrative use cases. I'm going to present one for a large multimedia client that I'm working on now, and Abhishek will present one for a large telecom that we completed recently. We also have some live demos of some of the technology that we used. EY is a worldwide organization. We are working with Microsoft to improve businesses with the digital technologies, the digital world. In terms of tax, there's a huge disruption going on along with the technologies that you heard about throughout the conference, right? There's a lot of disruptive technologies that businesses are trying to figure out and implement. There's something called digital government. The way taxes are going to be paid around the world are also going to change. There's countries like Brazil and some in Europe where they're actually requiring weekly feeds of sales and procurement files, very large files from global multinationals. They will calculate the taxes and send them a bill. There will no longer be a need for tax returns someday. They're going to get their money faster. There's also something called BEPS, which is base erosion profit shifting, that I'll talk about a little later that's occurring worldwide, but it's a digital government movement to get information faster about the companies that operate in their countries. EY's approach is really starting with the end in mind. What is it that we're trying to solve from a business perspective? And then applying the technologies. And so we partner with Microsoft to continually learn about the new technologies and how we can apply them in our world. So right now, we're using a lot of the features of Cortana Analytics, even robotics, some of the machine learning, as well as the basic SQL Server and analytics that has been available. Today's focus will be on analytics. It's about data quality for tax. And it's about keeping the information clean so that when you report it to a government entity like the IRS, that it's good, that it's verifiable. So the examples today that we're going to show will include, I'm going to show a Power BI demonstration of a tax information desktop. And Abhishek will show some of the SQL Azure technologies that we've applied, in particular Azure Batch. So a couple minutes on tax data management. Data quality is job one. They don't own any of the data. They have to go to all the departments within a company, within the enterprise, to get their information. The ERP, HR information, fixed assets, procurement, sales, marketing, plant manufacturing information. So they have a lot of issues with the quality of the data that potentially comes from these operational systems that eventually have to go into a tax return to support it. So as a result of not owning any of that data, these processes spin off. These are the reasons that they want us to come in and help them. These are the reasons, such as shadow accounting. So what that means is, a business typically keeps its financials by line of business, right, around the world. But tax has to pay taxes by country. So there's a transformation that has to occur between the line of business and then what countries they operate in. Very complicated around the world. You're talking about multiple currencies, potentially multiple countries supporting one legal entity, it's called, one part of the corporation. A lot of issues with that. Understanding the data sources is also a very large problem because they don't own any of the data, right? They just receive the data, they're consumers of that data. So as you can see, the theme of this talk is going to be around the data quality. If you don't have data quality, the rest of the analytics is really useless. So here, on this slide, I want you to focus on the word traceability. It is around being able to go from an operational system like an ERP to a financial system in both the currency that they provide the tax return in, say they're a US-based currency, so it'd be dollar, but they're getting information from around the world. So all those currencies have to be converted to the US dollar, and there's always timing issues and those types of things. So traceability is a big deal. The process of taxes is really three things. There's compliance, which you file your tax return. We just completed the tax return cycle in the US September 15th. There's planning for the next tax return. You know, how do you optimize your dollar spent around the world so that your manufacturing or your intellectual property is in countries that actually give you favorable tax rates over the US, for example. And then the last thing is audit. It doesn't end for at least 10 years. We need to keep that data for about 10 years or more. So that's very different than any other operational system or financial system that a company maintains. After 2 or 3 years, the data gets archived. But nowadays, you want to be able to get the auditor in and out as quickly as possible. So you have to keep that data live. And they're going to audit probably 3 years out. If you have to go to tax court, you could be in court for 8 years validating what you did, down to the lowest level of transaction detail. That's the other characteristic of a tax data warehouse. They have the lowest common denominator of data in the company. They need every transaction, every sale, every tax paid on each invoice. BEPS, as I mentioned, stands for Base Erosion Profit Shifting. So companies, as I said, you know, countries try to entice companies to, you know, build their divisions in their country by giving favorable tax treatment. So in Ireland, if you keep your intellectual property division there, it's a much lower tax rate than keeping it in the US. As we know, a lot of manufacturing in China, they've given a lot of favorable tax treatment for manufacturers. So now the countries are going to require something called a country-by-country report. If you file in the U.S., they're going to want to see where you are, have operations. They want to see your financials, how much revenue, how much profit, how much taxes did you pay in those countries, how many people do you have, how many assets do you maintain, and then what kind of activities do you do there? Do you do marketing? Do you do intellectual property, R&D? So now, as I mentioned, companies are going to have to be able to provide this information at a country-by-country level. So EY, we have two services to help clients with it. As I mentioned, it's we look at the, you know, the result in mind. Data quality here is job one. So as far as traceability, we have a service where it's under data quality, we call it data traceability, where we look to see how it moves from a company division to all the different countries that that company operates in. We're looking at your data models. We're looking at tracing all the data. We're looking at the sources of data. And it gets really complicated because some companies have more than one ERP in all the different countries, or they don't have one at all and everything's done in spreadsheets. So you're, you know, bringing together all this data. So the data lake technology is becoming very popular, where companies can bring all the data from all the countries together in one place and do analytics. On top of that, once we have the data, then we can do analytics. And there's a lot of opportunity here, as I mentioned, to provide better ingestion of data, as well as, you know, stronger analytics, and really moving them in a different direction in terms of work processes. Instead of, you know, just looking at spreadsheets historically, now they can look at data and discover new information about it, even for tax. You know, are they optimized really in all the countries that they could be in? So visibility to the data, access. We want to be able to provide self-service. Power BI is a great tool to actually let the tax accountant professional to look at their data in new ways and to be able to build information dashboards very quickly. They don't want to have to get in queue with IT to get new reporting and wait for it to come out, right? They want to be able to get to that data as soon as possible and then control the output of that analytics. So as I mentioned, their analytics is very different than anyone else in the company. They use all this data. They have to look at it by country. They want to be able to control the output. Once you have the tax data, you've got the lowest level of information, as I mentioned, in the company. So now other departments can take advantage of that data. I mean, when a revenue line on a trial balance or general ledger comes from sales, right? And sales are documented in invoice transactions that tax is going to keep. From that, now you have information about a client, right? The life, so and if you keep it for 5 to 10 years or more, now you know what the client did over that lifetime. So I've done a lot of analytics where we've looked at the life cycle of a client from the beginning, their first interaction with a company, 5 to 10 years later, you know, what, you know, kind of pricing are they getting, what services have they bought, and that helps produce new business products, new business models. And so there's some examples there around customer, as well as legal. Anything that's in court, whether it's taxes or otherwise, could take a long time. So tax is usually the only place where you can find this data. In addition, you have other information, HR and assets, so you have information about your employees or your assets information, very protected data. So there is some security that you will need around some of that information, for example. So today, as I mentioned, we have two use cases we're going to share with you. The first one I'm going to talk about is a multimedia client where they had an issue with multiple financial systems around the world. They had 20% of the country's data very difficult to access. there's other issues when you're working with country data, data sovereignty, for example. Sometimes that data can't leave that country, right? So some, and you hear people talking about a data lake. How about multiple data lakes that you potentially have to put in because of those issues with data sovereignty? There are, so their issue was they had 20% of their financials were actually in other countries that they couldn't get either access to data or they had other financial systems outside of their main ERP system. So the goal was to create a hybrid environment. And I'm going to go a little bit more detail in the next few slides around what that actually was. That combined their traditional legacy data warehouse with a brand new concept of data lakes using Microsoft technology. The second example we're going to talk about is a large telecom, and Abhishek worked on that project. I don't know if you want to talk a few minutes about what the challenges were, the goals of that project.
Sure. The two main challenges for this telecom provider was to have a complete life cycle of a lease from asset, from an inception to its retirement. They want to track, they want to be able to track all its activity. And why is it important? To have good, robust data to make their tax decisions. So the more enriched your data is, the better your tax decisions are, and hence you maximize your benefits. The second thing is, as Michelle mentioned earlier, the tax, they always have deadlines. The deadlines are like the first 48 hours of when start of the month. So as the volume increases, and you have to find this from different sources, you have to streamline that so that you comply with these deadlines. These deadlines have been here for the last 50, 60 years, but the volume has been increasing exponentially in the last 10 years. So one of the asks from us was to cut down on the processing time so that they have enough time for review and then file the tax regulations. So these were the two big challenges that they had to overcome, and that's where we proposed a cloud-based solution because it's a perfect candidate to employ the elasticity and the power of the cloud to enable these scenarios.
Oh, one housekeeping thing I forgot to mention. If you have questions at the end, if you could go to the microphone since they're recording the session so people can hear the questions. I appreciate that. So I want to go back to the theme of this talk, right? How did we help them cut spending, improve their process, reduce their taxes? So I'm going to share with you the big data lake architecture that we ended up designing with them. I'm going to share with you some intelligent analytics dashboard that we produced that highlights the characteristics of the tax data warehouse that I mentioned earlier, right? Retention, transaction level detail, and then reducing taxes. Now they have the information in their dashboard to find data anomalies, to find patterns, to find new trends that they could apply going forward to optimize and maximize their taxability around the world. So this was the architecture. Now they spent years building the traditional data warehouse on the left. It was on a very large provider, SAP, that had a huge implementation in the US. They did some really good things. They had a master data management team. They had everything documented from their processes and sourcing processes. So it was a very rigorously built environment. Going forward, in order to capture the missing 20% of the data from the countries, we wanted to do a first iteration. So we wanted to build a Hadoop data lake. We used the HD Insight technology to initially get the data from those 20% of countries, but it was combined. We didn't, you know, it was living in a hybrid environment next to the existing ERP systems, right? Then we layered a Cortana Analytics suite on top of both the legacy environment and the data lake environment to give them one view of their data worldwide. This allowed them, you know, some of the keywords that are highlighted here, we could add additional sources. It was a very fast evolving type business. They were constantly adding mergers and acquisitions, or changing divisions, or and so they were constantly adding new sources of data, and they really needed a scalable solution that allowed them to modernize their environment, get into some of the cloud technologies, as well as leverage some of the new techniques, and test it out with the thought of potentially migrating the big data warehouse eventually, over to those processes over time, over the next probably 2 to 5 years. It takes a long time. Then providing access to not only tax, but all the other folks, as we saw in that prior chart. They wanted finance to have access, legal to have access, HR, customer accounts to have access to the data. When we did the analysis, we did on the bottom left there, some of the features and capabilities that really, we decided were going to benefit them. So very high effectiveness was really, wanted to reduce costs. So it was very cost effective to create the data lake versus bringing those countries onto the big ERP, which was going to be very expensive, probably 10 times as expensive as building the data lake itself. So if I examine the architecture a little bit more, the data lake was powered by HD Insight, and this allowed us to help them migrate into that new operating expense model from a capital expense model where they're spending money to build an environment. They could store historical data. They already had a tax data warehouse. It was like 2 years of data, but they were going to use that to move just that data plus add the new country data, leave everything else in the big ERP, because that was just a lot of information to move at once. And then Cortana Analytics provided the reporting for their standard reports and modeling going forward. And they had, as I mentioned, really good processes around data governance already, master data, metadata, and security. And I think you might have heard this through other talks. I've been doing data solutions for a long time. And in the traditional data warehousing, you always did data governance. And initially, when people moved to big data environments, it was kind of like an afterthought. But now it's just as important in this day and age. So here are some of the other reasons that we provided to them as well. So I'm going to just show you the information dashboard that we created in Power BI. Now, this is a local version, which has about 500,000 records in it. The actual system has about 300 million rows of data. So this is a data quality engagement, and this is the information. There's, as you can see here, probably, let's see, it goes down. It's about 580,000 approximately, and probably about 100 or so rows across of data. These are sales transactions. So think of an invoice where you bought, a laptop and a mouse and an external hard drive, for example. These are each of the line items in that invoice, right? And then a total tax applied to them. So when you look at this, can anyone see the data quality issues in here? Can you see the data quality issues? No, of course not, right? So in an hour, I built this information dashboard. And very quickly, I can see the data quality issue. This is supposed to be a U.S. indirect sales tax dashboard. It's supposed to contain data just for the United States. Here I have data for Germany. So this allowed them to see the potential of analytics using discovery versus the traditional ways that they would have done it in spreadsheets, for example. In addition, what I wanted to show were some of the filters included the many years of data that we would eventually have to keep in this data lake, as well as the important slicers and dimensions for tax, which include year, the location. As I mentioned, you know, we're looking at taxes by location, not by line of business, and the type of taxes that are paid. So all of you know how a Power BI dashboard works, but I wanted to emphasize, really, this was a procedural change. They loved it because they could, you know, bring in any information. They weren't restricted in terms of the dimensions that were built in their previous traditional data warehouses. They were frustrated by the cubes, right? Because you're limited by the dimensions within your cube that somebody thought of in IT. Here, you have access to all the data. So they were very thrilled about being able to just create their own analytics. Here, these are taxes paid year over year, and this is a trend that shows the amount of change. And I, like I said, I built this like in under an hour for them, so they were immediately able to get value right away. Just go back to here. So now I'm gonna turn it over to Abhishek to show the solution we built for the large telecom.
Thanks, Michelle. So just to reiterate the business goals for this client. So this is a large telecom provider.
Oops, and hang on, let me just see.
Have it ready?
Let's see. I don't think it switched over. This is mine, and then apologize for this. We were testing it earlier, and it seemed to be working.
While it's putting up. So to reiterate the facts, there's two major business problems with this client. And one was, again, tracking the asset from its inception to its retirement. So what that means is that you have to make sure the asset, where it's created, all through its life cycle, to back to its retirement. And having such information has huge implications on tax decisions. So the better the life cycle tracking mechanism is, the better the tax decision and maximize the benefits. And the second business goals is to cut down the processing time so that they can use their time wisely. They can use the information dashboards, as Michelle showed earlier, so that they can make better judgments of the data quality if there is anyone. Or they can review themselves, they can have this internal team go through it and make sure it's clean before submitting for IRS, because you don't want to submit some incorrect data and then have those repercussions down the line. So these were the two major business goals that they wanted to attack. And these two requirements, if you zoom out and check out, it's a perfect candidate for a cloud-based solution. It's end-to-end, so we proposed like an end-to-end cloud-based solution where we can leverage the elasticity, the power of the cloud to make this happen. And this is a perfect use case for a data platform, Azure data platform. It's a perfect use case for the Cortana Intelligence Suite. Why is that? Because you have all the components we need. We have data factory, we have data warehouse, we have data lake, we have Power BI to do some informational dashboards. All the components are right there. Each have their own unique speciality, which when stitched together creates magic. In the next slide, I'm going to show you the reference architecture, which will emphasize and illustrate the fact in more detail. Gets hung, I guess.
You want me to show it on mine?
Oh, sure. Sure. So all can see? Yep. So this is the reference architecture. And at the center stage is the Azure Data Factory. Azure Data Factory is the data orchestration mechanism which can ingest a wide variety of data. It can consume it at a very rapid pace. And it has an awesome pipeline which flows the data from the source to the destination. It's all cloud-based, so you can scale up and scale out as much as possible, and it's bulletproof for today, and it's future-proof as well. And in this specific example, we had structured data, which is all financial reports, all blob text files coming through at a rapid pace. And we kind of used the data factory as the center stage to consume this data from the input stage. And as you can see from the architecture, it flowed through the staging area, through the business rules engine, all the way up to data warehouse. I want to take a moment to explain the rules engine. As has the rules engine in itself has tax and auditing and lease accounting rules. These are complex IRS rules built in through many years of EY expertise. And this has to run on millions and billions of records. And this is where we leveraged the Azure Batch. The Azure Batch, in this case, we used around 200 machines, all AL's commodity hardware, which is size A1, which is the lowest virtual machine you can have on Azure. And we employed that 200, we scaled out around 200 instances of them to process the rules engine. And I'm pleased to inform that we were able to reduce the processing time from about 20 to 30 hours all the way down to about 90 minutes. So that's a huge 80% increase in the processing time itself. So what is to take them a day now takes them a couple of hours. So as soon as they have their lunch and come back, the processing is done. And to illustrate this fact, I would like to show you a demo about and show how Azure Batch works and how we are able to have the solution up and running, which tackles all the challenges that they have today and can scale up to any challenges that they have in the future. So I would like to first show you some of the rules that we developed. These are all accounting rules. It's all .NET based, XML based rules that we developed. And to process these rules, we employed the Azure Batch. Normally, we would have Azure Batch running through ADF as a custom .NET activity. But for the purpose of the demo, I kind of isolated that one activity to show you how it actually helps us process this engine. So this is the Batch Explorer. This is an application even provided by Microsoft, which kind of shows you, it provides a UI for the batch, for the Azure Batch experience. Here I have 200 machines up and running, and all of them are spun up. It's ready to go. It's waiting. It's idle. And this is kind of a neat heat map to show you which one is running and which one is not. So right now we have all 200 machines idle, hungry for more tasks to be performing. So let me go ahead and start the process.
Five days, right, to do this processing. Now it was going to take 90 minutes. I mean, we're not going to spend 90 minutes showing you here, but we wanted to demonstrate, have a little demonstration of what the environment looks like that you would be working with. And we've experienced other similar capabilities with our clients. I had a client where we had 2 billion rows of transaction details. Previously, it might have taken a week to load that. We launched the program, we were gonna go to lunch, it was done in maybe half an hour. So it was very fast, and you can see as I was talking, all your instances are now green.
It's running. So the way it works is it kind of takes those millions of records, divides that into how many of our data sets you want. Each one of them is called a task. And each task is now deployed on the 200 machines. Y200. We data geeks, we just found out 200 is the optimized way of managing the cost, the budget, and the time. But the elasticity and the power of the cloud, tomorrow, if you have billions of records, all you have to do is scale out to thousands of machines, and it's literally like a slider that you have to use, and you get the elasticity so high that you can still complete the job in 90 minutes for all billions of records. So there's no change in the code, there's no change in the process, it's all managed by Azure, and I think the only job you have to do is just monitor to make sure it's all complete. That's how simple it becomes when you use a cloud-based solution, and more importantly, in this specific scenario, the Azure Batch.
And so don't underestimate the value of the infrastructure. The example I was just talking about while we were waiting for this to finish spinning up was 2 billion records of the similar type of data I showed you earlier, right? 15 instances of better machines than the A1s that he was talking about. But we have to make sure to optimize your infrastructure as well.
Yeah. And all these 200 machines, as I said before, are A1 machines. So what I mean by that is this is the lowest cost machine that you can have from Azure. It costs you 77 cents an hour to spin up this machine. So we have 200 machines at 77 cents an hour, which goes out about 90 minutes. So for those of you who do the math quickly, it comes down to $30 a month. So for $30 a month, you are able to churn and process complex tax rules, get the results out so that the end user can consume and make better tax decisions, better lease decisions, and whatnot. Yep. And you can see some of the tasks. I have more tasks than
I'm going to show some more.
So if you have more tasks than you have machines, then kind of a round-robin schedule where it just, after it finishes, it finds the best machine to put the task on and then completes the task. So it's all managed by Azure, all managed by Microsoft, and I think the only job, I think, at this point is to just watch and make sure it's all green and make sure it's complete.
I'll open the floor for questions. If you have any questions, please go to the mic about any of the technologies we showed today or any of the business use cases.
The mic is on?
Yes.
Okay. So I have a question about what was the criteria choosing Cordano versus IBM Watson?
I'm sorry, repeat the question.
Why did you go for Cortana? Because I think IBM Watson has the same machine learning. So can you elaborate on that?
Sure. They wanted something quick. They had a Microsoft Enterprise license. Eventually, they were going to move they had SAP as their ERP system. And eventually, they were going to move to HANA. Now, the HANA architecture, you can layer a number of different analytics on it, right? But in order for them not to have to buy another license, they just pretty much, use their enterprise license. We turned on Cortana. It had all the elements that they would want to use eventually, right? They had the Power BI. We wanted to get the analytics up and running quickly. It was probably like it took 3 months to build the data lake and the analytics on top, very fast, right, versus a traditional warehouse. We had like 3 use cases, very quick use cases to give them the discovery. Later on, they were going to want to use machine learning and potentially robotics. So we picked the Cortana Analytics specifically because of the capabilities that it provided, and so that we can quickly demonstrate the value of the technology without having to go through a whole IT licensing, process.
Okay, so just to add, my background is not in tax, but coming from the IT background.
Sure.
You mentioned data sovereignty a
yes.
number of times, right? And I know it's a mm-hmm. thing where you have, because you're dealing with the customer's data.
Right.
You're doing the taxation for that. So example you mentioned, I believe they're all US-based companies. So how do you deal?
Multinationals, though, yeah.
So when we talk about data sovereignty, so these companies have their offices, as you mentioned, in Germany and UK and other parts of the world.
That's right.
And if you have the data in Cortana, so how do you make sure their data is in particular data region? Because Germany never wants their data to be hosted in the cloud in the US and vice versa. So how did you deal with that?
We ended up with we had like two countries where that was an issue. And unfortunately, it was a more of a manual process. To kind of get around it. You know, we wanted to show value quickly, so we would have to do additional assessments to do automation, but we initially had to do more manual workarounds for those countries.
And I believe you're leveraging the platform as a service for the Cortana, right?
Which one? I'm sorry.
Like in Azure, platform as a service. You did not
right.
do the IaaS, the PaaS, right?
It was the Azure service, yes.
And
worldwide, yeah.
And also, how you can go to the next level leveraging since you have started already, and what do you see the next level? Because it shows that it has a lot of value and improvement. Mm-hmm. And machine learning, the next phase for the machine learning, the AI, to make better decision. So
right.
Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. So in the dashboard, as you noticed, there was a trending chart, right? Tax goes through a quarterly estimation process to estimate their taxes. It's called provisioning. So when they look at their data and how they're spending taxes around the world, it's very difficult when you're looking at billions of rows of data, but they can see the trends of, you know, where, so for example, you know, intellectual property in Ireland, right, the tax rates. So we're comparing the tax rates in the different countries. It's actually a very complicated algorithm. It's called intercompany transactions. Where when they build product, they might buy parts of components of the product from one country and other parts from another country and other parts from the other a third country, right? And then they bring it back into the US for manufacturing, for example, right? So it's very complicated, and it's hard to explain really. It's very complicated in how we can use the analytics and make predictions. You know, like if we did manufacturing in this country because they now changed their tax laws versus this country, what would the model propose, right? And so companies, like through that BEPS, companies have actually restructured their company because of the new BEPS regulations and the country by country reporting that they're now gonna have to show to the government entities. So it has some really impactful impact to the business at the end of the day when we're looking at analytics around the world, around the countries and how money's being spent, how it's being taxed, and what's the best tax position. Now, realizing companies, large multinationals, they pay their taxes, often 30% of their revenue. You think about that, right? That's a lot of money, right? $15 billion on a company that makes $50 billion a year, right? So in order to optimize that, and oftentimes they have what's called the risk reserve for assessments. So say they can't validate information or they don't have the invoice data, right, and they're getting audited, they might have to pay an assessment to the IRS. Now, so if they're a multi-billion dollar company and they have an assessment of like 10 million, right? And they have a risk reserve of, 100 million, right? In order to prevent that from happening again, $10 million, 10%, reduction is a very large number for some of these companies. It's worth the investment, right? And as they move from an operating expense like in the Azure cloud, so they're paying a subscription, every month, the tax people, they're in there usually at the end of the month. Once all the accounting has happened, when they're doing their financial closes for the end of the month, the volume of activity goes way up. And that's perfect for the cloud-based solutions, because otherwise the servers are sitting idle before the end of the month. And then at the end of the month, everyone's on there crunching numbers, right? So I think it's a perfect storm in terms of the disruptive technologies that we have now and the type of work that tax has always had to do. And the timing of that, as well as the retention of that, how it has to be separated by country and all the different other characteristics that I mentioned earlier that are unique to tax. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it helps. And last question is, other than the Cortana Analytics, are you leveraging any other Azure or Office products or services, a SaaS?
Sure, SharePoint. So we do have an accelerator. We call it a tax portal. So it has tax processes organized by the different departments within tax, and it's built on SharePoint, as well as what Abhishek demonstrated with the Azure Batch.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Any other questions? Really appreciate your taking your time this morning and hope this was helpful. Please contact either of us if you want deeper information about some of the examples that we provided as well. And have a great day. Please do a survey. We appreciate your feedback as well. Thank you.
Thank you.